This is a segment from The Annex, an academic sociology-themed podcast. For more, visit us on the web at theannexpodcast.com.
I want to talk about the University of Wisconsin Superior closing down their social program. Did you guys hear about this?
No.
I did.
So the main headline is straight up, poof, that's it. No more sociology degrees at Wisconsin Superior.
Pourquoi?
I wrote to the department chair, Eric Edwards. He was nice enough to write back to me. And so he told me that the rationale that was given was a desire to improve student experiences by streamlining their choices. So it doesn't make sense to me. Sounds like an excuse. They said they were cutting programs with low enrollments, but Eric said Soch was above, they were graduating sort of double the minimum. And he said enrollment was down in Soch after 2008, which is a widespread problem in our discipline. And the school wasn't replacing retirees. So there was kind of like a professor would retire and the school wouldn't come up with another Soch line. And so I got from him that there was sort of this spiral of cutbacks. And low enrollment. Now, I wanted to ask you guys, do you think this is an idiosyncratic thing? I mean, I don't know much about Wisconsin Superior. Do you think that there is sort of a canary in the coal mine situation going on here?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, our enrollment has been robust. I mean, we are actually seeing minor, like majors and minors, you know, hovering around the same level, I think, over the past, you know, 6, 7, 8 years. So, and we're pretty large considering the size of our department.
Well, the good news is that Lesley's at a great institution. And the challenge is that's not happening nationwide, because nationwide, colleges are struggling to meet their expected enrollment for classes. And part of that's driven by a demographic shift, right? We've essentially have a dip in the birth rate, right? So, what that means is when you've got fewer, you know, 18 to 22 year olds from, you know, high school going into college, ergo, there's going to be fewer kids in college. And this is going to be the case, I think, until I have to look this up to get it right, but at least until about 2030, it might be the case all the way until 2040.
That's the word in admin circles, that like the industry is going to be affected by a baby bust.
Right. So what essentially is, colleges and universities are now beginning to have to sort of identify where they're going to address that drop in enrollment, along with the reality that they can't continue on the path of raising tuition and fees, you know, 4% a year anymore, 3 to 4% a year, because, you know, people are becoming a lot more cost conscious about sending their kids to colleges. So what's occurred is more and more colleges are having this conversation regarding, okay, let's think about, do we need as many academic departments as we have? Do we need as many administrative departments as we have? Do we need, where can we cut?
Okay.
And it's the first step, right? It's that's the canary in the coal mine. It's the first step towards, do we need to close our institution? You know, like Sweetbriar, though they came back from the beyond.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's also part of, you know, that larger discussion that I think we've been hashing out for the past 10, 20 years or so about what the value of a liberal arts education, right? And so people, you know, and I think that a lot of students are coming into undergrad with their parents saying, you need to major in something where you can get a job right away. And I think sociology might have a branding problem, right? I mean, what job are you going to get with a soc degree?
Well, I think that's totally what's happening. We did experience a post-2008 hit, and some of it had to do with the, perceived declines in the attractiveness of becoming a teacher, because we fed a lot of teaching students. It used to be when I first came here, our best students went on to teachers college, and now students don't want to do that. But it's also just as someone from an institution who teaches people that aren't wealthy, they need to make money. It's not even a question of wanting to make money. They want a job on the other end of this degree because they got to pay it off. And in a lot of circumstances, they got families to support. And the fact is that sociology is not perceived as an avenue to a career by a lot of people. We regularly show up in those listings of low return on investment degrees. We appear there. And I think that we do have an image problem. And I would bet that, I don't doubt that, Donnell, that there's a demographic, sort of an overarching demographic factor that's influencing the industry as a whole. But my view on the ground is that there is an image problem. Like the business schools aren't hurting, you know. There are lots of degrees that are perceived as a route to a good education. Or a good paycheck.
No, agreed wholeheartedly. But let's compare ourselves then to other academic disciplines, because what I don't know is I don't know what's occurring in other departments at UW-Superior, right? So do they have a classics department?
No, I have no idea. I do know that Poli Sci was folded in to, and like it was a social science hit and sociology was in the chopping block. I bet you econ stayed alive though.
Right. Econ probably stayed alive, but like classics may have gotten, you know, mixed into some generic humanities degree that they may have created. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to assume, but if you go around the country, you'll see that there are a number of colleges and universities that have these sort of joint sociology and anthropology departments because they never got to the size in which they felt like the departments could stand alone. And you could imagine sociology and anthropology and poli sci being merged into a social science department in the same way that you could imagine you might have once had a French department and an Italian department. And now, because of changes in the kinds of things that students want to learn languages about, more students are coming in wanting to learn Arabic. There's a revitalization of wanting to learn Russian, that these departments may have shrunk significantly in the number of majors they have. And so now they're part of the foreign language department and they're no longer on their own. And so I think what's happening to sociology is going to happen to other disciplines. And I think it's going to vary by institution. If you've got a really strong social department, you'll probably be able to survive the sort of changes in the market desires, what students think they want to learn in order to be successful, what students want to get a degree in. But if you maybe don't have the strongest social department and you've only got two or three majors a year, you may end up on the cutting block.
So is there anything we can do? Like, as an administrator, what could the discipline do to stave off sort of the scalpel?
Well, I mean, so as from an administrative standpoint, I am spending a lot of time thinking about what it takes to attract students to academic disciplines, because I'm at a liberal arts college. And for me, it's important that all of our academic disciplines survive, right? So how do you sell a major that is never been thought about to a first generation or low income student, right? Sociology is kind of an easy sell. Once you explain what sociology is, it's easy for students to tie that to their own lives, to be able to think of, wow, I can use these theoretical and methodological tools to basically identify the challenges that I've faced in my life and maybe help change them. Great, right? It's a harder sell for me to sort of just naturally explain classics. Right? How do I explain classics or art and archaeology or dance? Right? You know, and so then it becomes a little bit more of a challenge, right? But it can be done, and there are ways to do that. And it's about basically working with the professors on the ground to say, listen, in the long run, it's about your students. So, how do you get students excited about this discipline? How do you get students excited and applying what they're learning to their own lives, to their own communities? Tell me how you do that well, and let's workshop that. And if you can basically do that in extraordinarily successful ways, how about you come on the road with us when we're visiting schools, Or how about when we bring prospective students to campus, or we bring first years to campus for orientation, you lead a session explaining the values of geology and how geoscience is associated with earth and environment, or the use of using certain tools to understand the formation of life in rocks and materials in space for people who might want to be astronauts one day. Like, let's find a way for you to make this exciting for these students coming in. Because when we think about the sort of what we call the new majority of students in higher ed, more adult learners, more first-gen students, more students from economic backgrounds that can't afford $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 cost of attendance, we've got to find a way to make it exciting and attractive to them.
I mean, I think the way that we spin it is it's, you know, we don't think of it as job training per se. We think about it as, you know, we're helping you to hone these very specific skills that actually will help you across many, many different career paths. And if you can figure out how to spin that in your cover letter, you'll be good.
You think that would work? I mean, I could see that working at a well-heeled institution that serves kids who plan on going on to grad school anyways, but do you think that would work with the general public?
I think so. We have students who go off to do many, many, many different things, right? Some of them are first generation. Some of them come from extremely wealthy families. I think part of it is maybe sort of they have, you know, the stamp of the name of this institution, right, on their resume. But I actually think anybody could sell it. I think anybody could sell it, and a lot of it has to do with the how well they are actually trained in those skills by that institution that they're claiming has helped them to actually garner and hone those skills. That's what I think.
I totally agree with Leslie. I mean, there's a quote that I keep on my sort of my computer board, and so I can read it to you really quick. It's a quote from Linda Darling Hammond. And what she said was, the top 10 in-demand jobs projected for 2010 did not exist in 2004. Mm-hmm. Thus, the new mission of schools is to prepare students to work at jobs that do not yet exist, creating ideas and solutions for products and problems that have not yet been identified, using technologies that have not yet been invented. I keep that quote on my computer board because whenever I'm working on a project, I have to always remind myself that it's never about a specific tool or a specific skill. It's about how do I help our college and how do I help other colleges and how do I help schools that I work with get better at helping students learn how to learn. Because learning is a lifelong process. And being a lifelong learner and being creative and being able to take different theoretical frameworks and different strategies and approaches to understanding knowledge, different methodological tools. These are all ways that you need to develop in order to be successful in life, in order to lead a healthy career, in order to raise a family. These are all valuable tools. It's not just about getting a job. Getting a job is important. Don't get me wrong about that. But what's most important is that process of learning how to learn, because we can train you in a particular skill in college. But what if that skill gets automated away 5 years from now?
It's going to happen.
Right?
So odds are it's going to happen.
Right. So what are you going to do? Right? You want to be in a position where you can retrain yourself, where if this thing goes out of style, you're ready to learn a new thing. Where you're not sitting around, you know, in your parents' basement going, oh my gosh, I learned COBOL, and now that COBOL has been replaced, I can't do anything. No, get off your butt and learn Python, right? Like, you learn COBOL, you can learn Python.
For more, visit us on the web, theannexpodcast.com.